Hey, I'm Stevie.
What's up? I'm Monty J.
And you're listening to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast,
where we take a deep dive with your favorite contemporary romance authors,
asking them questions about everything from their writing process to their reading habits, plus so much more.
Join us as we help you find your next bookshelf boyfriend.
What's up, bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. I'm eating a quesadilla. No, I'm not. I'm eating a fajita. It's a lie. Hope everybody's having a lovely Monday. I know the start of the week is always the hardest, but if you thought about it, if there were no Mondays, then Tuesday would be the new Monday. And so basically, it's really not even a Monday problem. It's the beginning of the week problem. So I vouch that we all come together and stop hating Mondays and think of it as like, it's like the restart button. It's like, oh my God, another countdown day to Friday. And I think that that's what makes it exciting. So let's be excited about this Monday and be productive and do something. I don't know, unless it's a no bones day. Then just hang out in the bedroom. So yeah, that's my little spew today. I have really nothing book world related. Actually, yeah, I do. If you like dark romance, Romeo and Juliet retellings, go check out, I fucking forgot her name. Go check out Just Like Heaven and Sitting Like Hell by Trilli Napucci. It's like a Romeo and Juliet duet. It's phenomenal. Chef kisses. Go check it out immediately. That's all I have to say. Other than that, I'm writing, so y'all know how that goes for me.
I am. If anybody likes holiday romance, Alexis Winter just released A Very Bossy Christmas today. It is a fabulous, really short read. Steamy. I mean, I would be very happy with a Damon under my Christmas tree. Like, hardcore. Give him to me. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. The cover is perfect for this book. I also just read Sealed by Laura Pavlov. Anybody who has not read that series, Her Willow Springs, go read it because it is amazing. Book 5 comes out in January. Also, in 2 weeks, her fourth book in the G.D. Taylor series with Willow Astor is coming out. Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking phenomenal. She sent me the arc. I love her to death. She's the best. What else? Hold on. Piper Rain just released My Sister's 40 Friend. That's out now. It's book 4 in the Green Family. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow... Well, this will already be out when you guys are hearing this. I forgot what day it came out. Kaylee Ryan's releasing book 2 in her baseball series, which originally was not a baseball series. It is Beyond the Bases follow-up with The Next Gen. So Paisley from Beyond the Bases is getting her own story, which it's about freaking time. I've been dying for this book. And it comes out at midnight, and I downloaded it already, and I'm waiting for it to deliver to my Kindle so I can read it.
That's can I all. Go now?
That's
okay,
all.
And one last thing. Candy Steiner, Harlow Ray, K.K. Allen, and
That's another one.
Doing a standalone, an interconnected standalone medical romance novels that will have you panting, faking an injury for medical attention, and begging for more. You have December 6th, which is Washed Up by Candy Steiner. It's an anesthesiologist, older woman / younger man, son's best friend.
Yes, I was like, girl.
I was like, sign me up. December 13th, Screwed Up by Harlow Ray, hospital security guard, opposites attract, no strings attached arrangement. December 20th, Fired Up by KK Allen, firefighter / EMT, single parent workplace. December 27th, Tangled Up.
Hey. Before you go further, that is a photographer and a firefighter calendar book.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad.
Sorry. I can't wait for that.
I know, right? December 27th, Tangled Up by Tia Louise, Smoldering Internist, Second Chance, Spicy Romantic Suspense. And this is called the Bayside Heroes. And I'm super excited about it. It's going to be epic. So definitely go check that out. I'm pretty sure they're all up for pre-order. But definitely go check that out.
I believe they are. And if you haven't, go listen to their episodes. They have all been on here.
Yeah.
And the fact all four of them. And we might just have to figure out how to bring them all four back.
Exactly. To talk
maybe
about
we can bring them all back at one time.
Maybe we could do like a little live session, something like that.
Huh.
Talk about this.
I got this, girls. I got this.
Stevie's got this because you know good and damn well MJ ain't got nothing to do with that schedule. So but we are going to
take some December with.
But we are going to pop on over and talk to our special guest today, which is going to be JJ Grice. And we're super excited to chat with her. So head on over there and we'll be chatting in 3, 2, 1. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast, JJ Grice. Welcome, welcome.
Hi.
We are super excited to have you. Not only are you a friend outside of the podcast, Stevie PA's for you.
Yes.
He's my boss. So, like, welcome. Welcome. Actually, both of you are, so that's probably a
welcome
problem.
Welcome to the Stevie is my PA club.
There's a lot of you guys now.
I know, right? Stevie is my
PA club. Brianna and Kat.
We need to make a club. We need to make a Facebook group.
Right? Have some shirts made.
Well, we need to do, we literally need to do a Facebook group. That way, if we need something from Stevie, we could just be like, yo, is Stevie done y'all shit yet? Because she ain't hit mine up yet. I'm joking. But yeah, no.
This bitch already calls me at 2 o'clock. She video like what did you do last night?
Voice
memoed me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Three
o'clock in the morning with some grand idea because she finally plotted out her next series.
Which I don't
know. Every time like you're not awake, Stevie, because it'll be like midnight my time and you'll be videoing me. Or voice messaging me, and I'm like, it's 2 o'clock, like, go to bed.
She was like, are you awake? And I'm like, barely, I just took a shit ton of Unisom.
No joke. And then I see her on Facebook, like, she's literally on Facebook the night before that at 4 o'clock in the morning. She's like, this insomnia is kicking my ass, anybody awake?
After that, like, I woke up.
Anyways, we are super excited to chat with you. We're gonna kick things off with a little trope association game. So basically, the rule of this game is you are going to, I'm going to say a trope, and you're going to think of the first book that comes to mind for that
trope. That cannot be your own.
And it can't.
Okay, okay.
So it has to be somebody else. All right, are we ready?
Ready.
All right. Trope number uno, enemies to lovers.
Oh, something like Hate by Harlow Ray, because I'm reading it right now.
Perfect, boom. Perfect. I love that book.
I haven't got there yet, but I'm just reading it.
There's a reason why I requested the second one. It's Surprise Baby.
Oh, shoot. I don't read a lot of Surprise Baby.
Yes, but there is one book that you just told me to read the other day.
There is?
I don't read Surprise Baby either.
We talk about books all the time. What did I say? Oh, you know what? No. The Lucky One by Sylvie Stewart is my favorite Surprise Baby.
Okay. I was thinking because you told me to read Morning Wood by Heather.
Oh, well, yeah. Morning Wood is great by Heather, yes. Morning Wood is really good, too. Sylvie Stewart's one of my favorite rom-com authors, though, and she has The Lucky One, and it's so... The Surprise Baby is such a random trope within the series that I love it.
Right. I literally don't read Surprise Baby, so I don't know what that book is, but it's okay. All right, the next one is Sports Romance. Oh my god, you tethered these really well for us, didn't you? Sports Romance.
Okay, so the first ones that come to mind are Pucked by Helena Hunting. I have yours, MJ. I have not read them yet.
You don't have to.
I am going to because I love hockey romance. Oh. I love hockey. Oh. But those are the first ones that come to my mind if we're talking sports romance is Pucked, because they're super out there.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
I love sports romance. I think the first one that comes to mind for me, honestly, because it was so like engraved in my brain, is either Sinbin by Maria Lewis or Puck You by Odetta Stone.
Oh, yeah.
I love both of those. All right, Steve, you're up.
Small Town Romance.
Oh, shoot.
I did this on purpose because she has a Small Town series.
You're like, not your own. I'm bad at this game. You know what? Harlow Race series. I just drew a blank, guys. With Trey and Raven. I can't think of what it's called.
Don't ask me, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I know what series we're talking about. I don't know the name of the series.
So. I
can't think of the name of the series either, but
she does have Silo Springs, which
is
Garner, Loner, and Breaker.
That one's really good too, but I absolutely loved Gent, Miss,
and Last.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the series, but those are the first books by her I read, and I love them. I love Gent. Trey's my book boyfriend.
We all know that Grady is my book boyfriend, and nobody is stealing him from me. I have a sticker on my laptop that says Grady's girl on it.
I mean, you can have, I like Grady, don't get me wrong, but Trey, I love Trey.
Grady Bowen is everything.
I love that book. I
really
adored that book.
Oh my gosh, why can't I even think of the name of it now?
Breaker.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Loner, and I think it's because she's posted a lot of Loner TikToks lately.
Yeah, yeah. Loner's the third book in that series.
Yeah.
Of
the release. It's not even a series, because she basically doesn't sort them into series. She says that they're all
interconnected. Yeah.
All right, so last trope is dark romance.
Oh, okay. So I will go with Willow Winters. She's my queen.
My queen too. She blushes really easily.
Her Highest Bidder series with Lauren Landish is my favorite series ever. But her Merciless series is top notch. And
it's really good.
Girls,
yeah.
I got those in comic book form.
Really good. I'm gonna have to try that out, honestly.
Merciless is hands down, you know me and my dark romance, Merciless is hands down one of my favorite all-time favorite series.
Merciless is really good for dark romance, but I really like the Highest Bidder series more, but I don't know if I consider that one super dark personally. It's on like a stranger level of dark.
I would say more like that one's tough, because I would put it classified as billionaire.
Can we do gray romance? Can we call it gray romance? Because it's like in the middle of
four. Yeah.
That's exactly where I would put that.
We coined the term gray romance.
I was just telling JJ this the other day, because somebody filled out our request form to be on the podcast, and she'll know who she is because she listens to this podcast all the time. So shout out to Maggie, because Maggie is the one that filled out the form. But Maggie put her tropes in there, and I've never heard the term open. What was it? Closed door? Open door?
Open door, because you didn't know what open door was.
Oh, so
I've never heard that term used before. I had to ask what it was, because I didn't know what it was.
So, AKA cliffhanger.
No, so open door is just sex scenes. It's spicy romance.
Oh,
because you're closed door.
Closed door is Fade to Black.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I've never heard it referenced that way before, so it was like really shocking. So shout out to Maggie for that, because she taught me something new. And Maggie is like an OG listener. She has listened to this podcast since the beginning.
Now I'm going to laugh, because she's going to message you and be like, that's not what I meant.
Probably.
Like, that is not what I meant.
She'll be like, MJ was
the first time. It wouldn't be the first time we've been schooled about the wrong thing because MJ does that often with her names.
Always the fucking names, dude. It's always the next. Anyway.
Guy Singer always comes to mind.
Oh, you gotta let me live that one down. It's gonna scar me for life, as enough as it is. All right, so we're gonna shift gears and go to book questions, and we're gonna be talking about your recent release, Stranger, which I have personally read. Stevie, do you want to alternate back and forth with these? Do you want me to go first? Okay, so you want me to go first? You want to go first? You go first.
Okay. Tell us what inspired the Dark Matter security firm and what made you want to start the series.
So really funny. I don't know if you guys know, y'all are really young.
Who are we talking about? You already know we are the same age.
Do you guys know what the A-Team is?
Yes.
MJ's like,
MJ's only 22, so she does not know what we're talking about.
I have absolutely no idea who these men are.
Okay, so the A-Team, there's a movie that was made like, I don't know, like 10 years ago with like Bradley Cooper, but it's originally a show from like the 70s or 80s, and it was about a group of mercenaries that were like former military members, okay? But it was kind of like a buddy comedy style, like it was intense, but it wasn't, not in today's standards. Mm-hmm. I always loved that show, and I always thought it would be really cool to make a book series about these mercenaries who, but when it comes to them breaking the law, they really break the law, and that's kind of where it budded from, was from there, and then just... I don't know. It just kind of went wild in my head, and I created this entire world of these, like, not all of them are former military. You'll learn more about them in the next few books, but, just these people that have all been wronged in one way or another, and they take it upon themselves to fix it.
Hey, listen, I love men who like to take things into their own hands. I love a man who doesn't wait around for shit to happen. So I'm here for it.
As you know, Cole does that. He does not wait around.
Very much. speaking of Cole, let's talk about him. The perfect boyfriend. I want him to stalk me, okay? I want that. that's all I'm asking for is a little stalker, but like a hot stalker, Like that.
You don't want an ugly stalker.
Exactly. I want a hot stalker,
That's when you call the cops.
It's literally just like that 50 Shades of Grey thing. It's like, would you like Christian Grey if he was a homeless man? Like, if he was doing the same thing.
If he looked like Jamie Dornan, hell fucking yeah, I would.
I mean, I don't
if he worked at McDonald's instead of, like, running his billionaire company.
Exactly. So, anyways, what was your favorite and least favorite thing about writing Cole?
Okay, so this is a tricky one. I love Cole. Like, Cole's my baby. He's probably one of my favorite characters I've written because he's been through some shit, right? And I think my favorite thing about writing him was just creating his obsession for Lily.
Oh, yeah.
He's just so sweet. Like, he knew right away, like, he saw her, he loved her, he didn't care what she'd been through. He knew that it's going to be challenging. And in further books, they're going to face challenges,
Yeah.
And I loved writing someone who truly did just love her no matter what. And like wanted to save her and show her that the world's not as ugly as the one she's been living in for 5 years,
Yeah.
And I think another favorite part was just everything he overcame, and he was able to see the beauty, and he was able to trust her, even though he had been really, really hurt too, as you know.
Yeah.
But then I think my least favorite part would be writing the anti-hero part of Cole, like some of the bad things he did, and they were pretty dang bad. And the reason I wrote them is because to me they were important. They were very important to show, like, he's not a good person. Like, this is why he views himself as a bad person.
Yeah.
And he's been hurt, and he maybe didn't handle it the greatest. But in my opinion, I probably would have done the same thing.
That's like my favorite part of writing, to be honest with you now. I like writing the pieces that make, you know, I just find myself, as I continue writing dark romance, I enjoy writing the love portion of these books less and less the more I get into writing killing people, okay? And I don't know if that, like, is showing my psychotic tendencies or, you know, what's going on with that, but I don't know. I think that, I don't know, that's my favorite part, is writing, like, how dark they're willing to go. But it's a morally gray thing, right? It's like, your job as the author is to make them feel like, to make readers be like, okay, I know it's bad, but, like, you want your readers to justify
it.
What are you doing, right? And I think you did that really well with Cole. I was, like, the whole time, I was like, okay, listen, I know, but, it's explosive kind of thing. Yeah. So I didn't
do that. That's how I view it too. I'm like, you know, it's very much justified in his head. Everything that happened, like everything he went through, what he did was mild.
Yeah.
You know, like the retaliation, the revenge, it was very mild compared to what he actually went through.
Exactly.
There you go.
Okay. So, you know, yeah, it's not as bad. And then... But I knew that when readers were reading it, they were going, there was going to be a divide at some point. You know, some are going to love it, some are going to hate it. And I've seen that already. I mean, overall, I think most people are like, oh, I love him, which is great. But that was my least favorite part of writing it, because I was like, this is where people are going to split up. Like,
yeah,
people are going to decide if he is a worthy book boyfriend or not. And
see, this is my thing, you know, like, I believe that you have to, I have this issue, okay, where I believe that, you know, you have, like, writing to market and writing the perfect book boyfriend with no flaws that you know everybody is going to love, right, kind of thing, but then it's just, like, I don't know, like, I personally, for me, I'm gonna write the book the way I want to, and if, like, if some readers don't enjoy whatever character is that I'm writing, you know, maybe it's just not, maybe I'm just not for you. I actually have this issue. I had that issue when writing, like, the current book I'm writing right now, which I kind of just threw out the window and was like, fuck it, I don't really give a shit. And it's, like, with my female character, because, listen, she's Mean Girl in part one, okay? So either people are just going to have to trust me that she has a character redemption, or they're just not going to like her. And that's okay. But I struggled so hard because I was so worried about people liking her that I was like, you know what? I don't want her to be likable in the beginning. And I was like, if they don't like her, then I did my job. Either you trust me to make her likable, or you just, it's not for you, you know?
Yeah.
So I just say, fuck it, and write what we want, you know? Because we...
Essentially, that's basically what I did. And I'm excited because further on into the next few books, you're still getting a major glimpse into Cole and Lily. And I'm really excited for people to see more of, especially Lily's character development. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a lot of Cole too. And you're going to learn a lot more of his, like, inner turmoil he went through.
Yeah.
But you didn't get a glimpse at in the beginning, you know. Yeah.
So speaking of Lily, tough as nails heroine, loved her to death. And this girl, this girl's been through a lot. Okay. And we see so much of that throughout this book, her backstory, her current story. It was one that I feel like a lot of people can relate to when it comes to domestic violence / spousal abuse. So what was something that you learned about yourself when you were writing Lily about in these situations when you were writing her?
So that's a trick question. It was actually really funny. I was reading these questions, you know, when you guys gave me a heads up with my husband. And I read that one, and he's like, yeah, what did you learn about spousal abuse?
I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, did you uncover anything about yourself? Like, did you, you know what I mean?
No, I knew what you meant, and so did he. He was just kidding. You know,
damn, I'm not insinuating your husband is abusive. My bad.
So, you know, it's really good. When I wrote this one, I was very nervous, but I knew that this was a story that this is what I needed to write. You know, I was very nervous. I actually reached out and I interviewed domestic violence victims, survivors. I had sensitivity readers, like all of it, because I didn't want anything to hurt anyone. Like, yeah. I didn't want to put light to such a serious situation. You know what I mean? And
respect the community.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I haven't been through that, thankfully, you know, but there's millions of women in the world who have, and it's heartbreaking. And I think just what I learned is that, and I'm so ashamed to say this, but I'm so in my own bubble that I'm learning that there are those little signs that are so easy to pick up on people who have been through that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really need to keep my eyes open a little more, you know, and that's kind of my new goal, is to really, like, not overread every situation, but just pay attention a little more, you know, and
more observant.
Yeah, exactly. And then another, you know, one wonderful thing I learned is you always hear, like, oh, if you or anyone else is experiencing this, like, contact this number, blah, 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 you know, and you always seem to, like, hear about the main, like, few helplines, but there are so many resources out there. So many. And I've learned that pretty much anywhere you turn, you can find assistance and help. And
yeah,
it's not always easy. And I think the hardest part is really taking that step.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the saddest part, is knowing that there are all these resources out there, and knowing, and these women, or, you know, men that are domestically assaulted still feel trapped, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that is how much of a psychological hold that domestic violence puts over somebody, that they can have all of these resources. I mean, I, for example, a really good book that comes to mind is Colleen Hoover's It Ends With Us. It's a really good book that comes to mind. I feel like it was such a really good, like, a fresh spin on domestic violence, because Lily, spoiler alert, God, if you haven't read it, spoiler alert.
If they haven't read it, I'd be concerned.
Yeah, because Lily, comes from a home where her dad domestically assaulted her mother. So, like, her whole life, she's like, I'm never ending up with a man like that. I'm never doing that. And then she meets Ryle, right? And it's like, Lily has resources. Lily has money. She has a job of her own. She can leave him. She is not trapped by Ryle by anything other than the relationship they hold with each other. And it's just like, I think it was a really good way to show people that it doesn't matter how many resources you have, how safe you are, how much money you have on your own. It's not about any of that. It's about the psychological hold that person has over you, and the constant, it'll never happen again. Or you're bargaining with the good over the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think that stories like this are very needed, especially to show women who have been through domestic violence that you are still worthy of having
You still come out on top. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I thought you did such a great job. I think you respect, my mom went through domestic violence. So, I mean, I think that it was lovely. It was, I really think you did a really good job with that.
See, and I feel like I did, like, you're talking about, like, the way Colleen Hoover did it, where she had all these resources. And I kind of enjoyed doing it in that completely opposite aspect of it, where, because he took away every single person that she ever loved or loved her, so in her mind, she had no one. And so to her, there was just no way out.
And that's what they do, right? That's what, oh my God, bro, I'm so, like, I'm so, like, observant of that shit. Yeah. That's what they do. They, like, to single you out away from your family so that you feel like the only thing that they have is them.
And then Ian, you know, in the book, there was zero apologies. I feel like there's even a line, and this was probably one of my favorite that I wrote, and one of the ladies that read it was like, this is perfect. When she was like, you hear about people apologizing, saying they'll never do it again, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, because narcissists don't apologize.
It's exactly.
Dumbness, and I wouldn't have done that to you.
Exactly. And that's 100% what I was conveying with Ian, because he's a narcissist. He's a sociopath. He's, like, in his head, he is God.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things about Lily, is just watching her overcome his God complex.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she was able to overcome that. And that's, yeah, absolutely my favorite. And I am very excited for people to see a little more of her character development, too.
All right, I mean,
there's going to be a lot.
Totally agree. All right, Stevie, take it away with your questions.
What is next for your Dark Matter Security series?
Oh, man. So, book two is Alec. I'm so excited for that one. I actually have caught a little flack about it because the first book ended. So the first book ended from Alec's point of view, as you know, because you read it. But people are like, oh, I wanted Gunner next. I wanted Gunner. That makes more sense. It's like, I promise there's such a good reason for this. Like, I promise. I know. I mean, I'm so guilty of that. I am so guilty of not having the patience because I'm like, but I like this character. I want their story now.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited for Alec's story. It's like, it's a second chance romance version of Dark Matter. And it's going to be, I'm very excited for it now. I'm not going to say who book three is because it'll be a huge spoiler for those who haven't read Stranger.
Yeah.
And then book four finally will be Gunner. And I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited for the whole series because you're going to see so much up and down violence, danger.
I love violence.
Lots and lots of steam, like all of it. I'm super thrilled about it. I cannot wait.
I'm super excited too.
I have to say though that I am playing with my pop socket right now.
I got mine too. Yay!
I don't have a fucking pop socket on my phone.
I'm sorry.
It's
Dark Matter Security.
I don't like pop sockets.
It says Dark Matter Security.
Guess what? I have ADHD.
Also say that JJ sent me a sticker that says "Shut up! Shut the hell up! I'm reading."
LOL, me.
Oh, she froze again. All right. My next question, a lot of people hate this question. And it's fine, because I'm still going to ask it anyway, no matter how many authors tell me they hate it. If you forgot the word stranger in there, if Stranger was turned into a movie or TV show, who would you cast in the lead roles?
I figured you would know.
I do know. I 100%.
Long pause.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So Cole has a very specific look in my mind. So if I were to cast him, it would probably be either Chris Hemsworth with his Thor hair.
Yeah.
It. Or Charlie Hunnam with his long Jax hair. Because Cole has the blonde hair, the man bun. Like, it's not touched on a lot, but he pulls it back in his bun, and he looks sexy, and I love it. So it'd have to be one of them or someone very similar, very sexy, godlike.
Godlike. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Lily, to me, I would say I always thought of Nina Dobrev.
Oh, I love her.
I love her too. I feel like in the Vampire Diaries, she's always so beautiful. And she is beautiful, 100%. So she would have to be a little more like homely, but that's who I always pictured in my head.
Like in her new movie.
Yes, exactly.
Which is now on Netflix.
I haven't watched it yet, but yes, that one, 100%, had the way she looks in all the previews. I would say that's who I pictured, is Nina Dobrev, and then one of those very sexy blondes.
Amy and Fletcher watched that last night. It was very good.
Is it? It's on my to-watch list, so.
I really enjoyed it.
I'll tell you what's on my to-watch list right now. in case anybody has not seen the trailer for it, but they need to go watch it, is The Lion Game with Lucy Hale.
Yeah, I saw it.
I cannot wait to
watch it. I love Lucy Hale. I haven't seen
it. It's going to be in The Lion Game, which is written by Sally Thorne, I believe. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken.
It is, you know, so many random details. I don't ever know who writes movies.
I only know this because that was a book that was seen all over TikTok. Okay. People were posting it all the time about, like, because of the cover was it's an illustrated one.
Mm-hmm.
So let me make sure I'm speaking the right thing, but I'm almost positive it's Sally Thorne because
it is Sally Thorne. It is. Okay. It is 100% Sally Thorne.
I love the cover of that book, but I'm more excited that Lucy Hale will be starring as Lucy. Because ironically, yeah, the girl's name is Lucy.
Yeah. Imagine, you know, I would get too into the role, though, you know, and that man's hot. I would be like, oh, God, I feel like I really am this person.
I couldn't
be an actress. I'd fall in love with every single co-star I ever had. All of them. I could never. All right, so we're going to move to writing questions. That's Waz section. So are you a plotter, a pantser, or somewhere in between, which we like to call planter?
And I was just going to say, I'm a planter. 100%. So I usually know, like, point A, point E, maybe point K, and then like Z.
Yeah.
And then anywhere in between, it's free game and whatever my characters decide to tell me. I've tried plotting and it's not for me. I can't do it. I ended up throwing it out the window and just doing my thing. So
the more I listen to people on this podcast talk about their planting, the more I'm like, I'm a plotter. Yeah, I am definitely a plotter. You know, and I try to be a planter. Like, I try to call myself a planter so I didn't seem like a freak type A person. But, you know, I'm a plotter. Because who was it that was on the podcast talking about their planting? And I was like, oh, that's a little bit too much planting. That's a little bit too much pantsing for me. So maybe I am a plotter. Maybe I'm a plotter.
See, I always know, like, the big parts, like, I know, especially, like, so in Dark Matter, I know, like, what the plot's gonna be, I know the big drama, I know the resolution, I know, you know, maybe a little bit about the romance, but really, I think everything in between, I just kind of, I let my characters take me for a freaking wild ride.
Yeah, and I think that for me, okay, so this is how I think I pants, okay? Because I think I know my characters extremely well after the 150 questions that they have to go through, 112 questions they have to go through. So I think I know them pretty well. So basically, I'll do, like, in the beginning, I'll plot 5 chapters, I'll write it and see where my characters are at, and then plot 5 more, and then I'll plot 10 more after those 5 are done, right? But I don't, like, break down each chapter what happens.
Right.
I put, like, a little line, like, this is a high point that needs to happen here. As for, like, dialogue, mannerisms, and, like, actions they do within, I pants that. Like, I let them tell me what they do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little too much, but, you know.
So you're, like, a plot-as-you-go type of person.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't plot a whole book. Like, I need to get at least, like, 5 chapters in, see where my characters are at, what they're doing, and then plot more before we can move forward. So, yeah, that's literally how I am. Like, I literally post on my story all the time about how, like, I'll write a scene and I'll comment, I'll, like, make a caption or something like that. And it's like, Rook. And I'm like, oh, we can't do that. And Rook's like, yes, the fuck we can, bitch. No, you really cannot. I put one on there and I was like, I gotta see if we can do that. I gotta Google it first. And he was like, we're doing it. And I was like, Google says we can't do it. And he was like, fuck Google. And I was like, we're not doing it. Yeah, he's a Billy Bat.
I hate when Google tells me something's not possible.
correct myself that the movie is called The Hating Game, by the way.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say it didn't.
And I would also like to say that the male lead character was also Nina Dobrev's boyfriend.
What?
Yes. Austin Stonewall. Austin Stonewall is the lead male role.
Dope.
Did we all just pull out our phones to look it up?
Yeah, this is them together.
I didn't know he was Nina's. Oh, he's hot.
I'm all for it. And he looks even better because the movie takes place in an office, so he's always wearing a suit, and he looks really good in a suit.
I'm here for
Yeah, he does. Oh, I know who he is. Okay.
I'm, like, so here for this, and I just love the fact that her name is Lucy Hutton, and Lucy's name is Lucy Hale, and it's just, like, all
meant to be. I love Lucy Hale. I love her so much.
Same.
She could be a Lily, too, I think. But I always picture Nina.
Yeah. So, do you have any interesting writing quirks? Like, when you sit down to write, do you have to be, like, eating Twizzlers or, like, wearing the same kind of socks?
So if I am writing a sex scene, I cannot write one without a glass of wine.
Oh, yes. Probably somebody has some type of superstition.
I always have to have wine. And I'm determined. So if I haven't had wine in like 3 weeks, and I am convinced that that is why every time I've tried to write, I was like, nope, it's not working. I have to stop because I'm convinced that's why, because I didn't have any. But I went and bought some Saturday, and then I wrote a really good scene yesterday, and I was like, yep, it's the wine.
It's the wine. It's the magical elixir.
And then if I'm writing non-steamy scenes, it's usually, I have hot Cheetos, with limon, like the limon hot Cheetos.
And oh, girl. Wait. I gotta put you on something real quick. Get yourself some hot Cheetos, okay? Tatine. Lime and chamoy.
Oh, girl.
Oh, my gosh. I love chamoy.
Yeah, I always have to have those if I'm doing, like, normal writing. So, wine for the sex scenes, hot Cheetos for the normal ones.
I'm here for it. Listen, I literally eat chamoy, tahine, and lime on pickles. Mm. Like, my husband's like, you're fucking crazy. And I'm like, it's delicious.
I can say I've never tried that, but I don't really like pickles.
Oh my, blasphemy. Jail.
That's what I hear that a lot, actually.
Jail. Pickles are amazing. Anyway, so what do you like to do when you're not writing?
Thinking that I should be writing instead of doing something I'm not.
Literal story of my life.
Honestly, I hang out with my husband and my kids. I try to write as much as I can, or read. If I'm not writing, I like to read. But lately, I've been re-binging Psych because the new Psych movie's coming out, and that's just an obsession. So I'm a very boring person.
I'm re-binging Dexter because a new season is coming out, mm-hmm. and a spinoff. So I'm super excited about it.
I've been told I should get into Dexter for my mindset of my dark romances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that Dexter is literally the definition of an anti-hero. He is borderline, like, there, you know? Like, he's definitely mm-hmm. on the line. But, and you. You is another good one. Joe.
Oh, gosh. So I haven't watched season 3 yet, so no spoilers.
Season 1, Joe Goldberg, the whole time. The whole time, I was
you're so in love with him.
I was like, yeah, Joe, you need to kill her. That's what you need to do for you. And I was like angry that Beck found out. I was so pissed off. I was so mad. And I was like, at the end, I was like, I'm a literal fucking psychopath that I'm rooting for the psychopath.
No, 100%. When she, like, spoiler alert for those who haven't watched season 1, which blasphemy if you haven't, but. You need, like, when she reaches into the ceiling in the bathroom.
I was like, he's done so much work to put you guys together, and now you're together, and like, look what you're doing, Beck. And then I realized that I had a self-aware moment. I feel like I was, like, extraterrestrial out of my body, saw myself doing this, and I was like, you need therapy. You're really rooting for the killer to end up with the girl. Like, what is wrong with you? But it's okay. It's okay. Anyways, so what's the weirdest thing that you've ever had to Google for a book?
Oh. the weirdest thing I ever Googled was the best acid to use to decompose a body.
I'm sorry, wait, what? Repeat?
The best acid.
Sulfuric.
So I have done, I found hydrochloric and nitric acid.
Yeah, mixed that's what together. I meant. Sulfuric acid is not what I meant. I meant hydrochloric. I meant hydrochloric.
I have another series I'm going to be doing after this series that's a spinoff of it. You met the character very briefly in Danger. In Stranger. you met him very briefly. And he is going to have an entire series about him and his team. And acid and different ways to get rid of bodies comes up quite often.
You got to put it in plastic, though. You got to put it in a plastic tub. Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't...
It'll melt through everything else. And you know, like, I had this conversation with my husband because we were watching Breaking Bad, which is originally, like, he was like, why does he have to put it in plastic? It melted through the saran, the whatever the fucking bathtub is made of. It melted through that. And I was like, because plastic has, so it's a covalent bond. So basically, the hydrochloric acid have bonds that directly repel plastic. And so that's why it won't melt through it. And he was like, I don't understand a word you just said. And I was like, I lettered in chemistry, bitch.
I feel like I'm watching an episode of Snapped.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I was like, don't cheat on me because you will go missing. You definitely will go missing. I will literally.
They'll never find you.
I know the perfect way to get rid of a body. I'm not going to say it publicly because if he goes missing, you know.
No, yeah.
Me. However, I will say that it ends with me taking his teeth and grinding them into a dust. So, yeah.
Well, he's just smarter than Joe and you don't keep him in a box.
Oh, no, I'd get rid of anything. Listen, I saw this thing. I literally watch serial killer documentaries all the time. My husband really worries about me. But I was watching one, and it was talking about how, like, the statistics. Oh, no, I was reading. Oh, where is it? I have this book on. Oh, here it is. I found this in a library, and I bought it. It's Serial Murders and Their Victims, and it's like a class book that had been like given away to a library. And I read the whole thing like 8 times. And it talks about statistically that there are not as many female serial killers as there are men, and women kill for money and power versus how men do it for like a certain men do it like sadistically for like sexual pleasure. And I was like, nah, y'all got that wrong. Women just smarter than men and ain't got fucking caught. That's why there's no we're not fucking stupid. And you know what another thing I think it is? Women don't have as big of egos as men do.
You know,
a lot of serial killers, like for example, Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer, literally would have gotten away with it had he kept his dumbass mouth shut. But he was so like, he wanted to have the attention. He wanted to be chased. Same thing for the Zodiac. They have this ego of needing the attention for it. Women don't give a fuck. We'll let the police snoop around our fucking house all damn day and not say shit. And I was like, it's because men have egos. That's why them bitches get caught. Ted Bundy is another example. Biggest ego in the world.
This was another question I said out loud to my husband and told him the answer. And that's when he just got up and walked away.
I would like to also point out the fact that I was telling JJ about this last night, and she then told me that she has the same thing. About destroying hard drives and naming your CIA agent that watches your
computer. Steve.
She My has name Steve.
Stu as well.
Huh?
Mine's name is Stu.
Oh, I mean, Steve's literally watching this right now, and he's like, you know, I'm not even saying. She's like, she said worse, you know. So it's okay. He knows. And, you know, I can't wait till the day that we finally meet each other, Steve, because I'm going to be like, I fucking knew it, bitch. I knew it. Now tell me if Area 51 is real. Do we got aliens?
You know it is. You know it is.
I'm going to tell you right now, Area 51 has every single cure for every disease that we've ever encountered, ever. Okay, that's it. That's all I got to say. The bubonic plague is in Area 51. Bet your ass. I'm telling you. Okay, no, I'm not getting into this right now. Anyways, and the gun that actually killed JFK, Area 51. Anywho, move on to reading questions. If you don't think there's a cure for cancer and AIDS, you're fucking delusional. Like, but like cancer makes the most, and it's like really bad, but like cancer makes the most, is like the number one profit for the United States is cancer, like chemo and medication and surgeries. It's like the number one moneymaker. So that no, they'll never fucking cure it. We'll be broke. Anyways,
reading. How am I going to survive Vegas with you two?
You know what? Don't
give me fun.
Don't get me high and get talking about conspiracy theories. I mean, I'm going to be high. I'm going to definitely be high, but do not talk to me about theories because I'll go off on really big rants. Okay. Anywho, if you think this is bad. All right, Stevie, take it away with reading questions, ma'am.
I'm at a loss for words now because I have a feeling that fans are going to come up to us and love and fake it and start talking conspiracy theories. Oh,
I won't even be able to get book signed. I'll be like, yo, listen to this theory I got. Are y'all ready for this? I am not even joking you. I genuinely think I solved the murder one time when I was 15. I thought I literally solved the murder. I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
Do you guys know what the Black Dahlia is?
Oh, girl, I'm obsessed with the Black Dahlia.
Okay, so you know, that whole thing with, like, the mysterious murder or whatever? I kid you fucking not. I was 15 years old, had to write a book report on it. Well, actually, we had to write a book report on anything, and I picked that one. I thought it was interesting. I just Googled unsolved murders. And basically I was doing research on it, convinced my dad to get me like one of those like thumbtack boards for the project, right? I had fucking printouts and shit, and like I tried hacking in that into base. I literally Googled.
You had a murder board?
I swear to God, I had like pins and like yarn and shit. I'm not even joking you. And you know that GIF where it's like that guy and he has the board and he's like, this, like this. That was me. Yeah, let me explain. It was me. But yeah, I genuinely thought I solved that shit, but it's fine. As I was saying, Stevie, take it away with reading questions, lady.
All right. What book has your favorite cover? Now, this can be one of your own or somebody else's, or both.
That is so hard. There's so many amazing covers out there with, and like, oh my gosh, that is the most, why would you ask me that? Let me see, let me pull up my Kindle, and how about I just tell you my favorite cover on my Kindle? that's so hard. So out of mine, my current favorite cover is probably Stranger. Mm-hmm. I love my mainstay series, but they're so sweet, and I love the dirty side of Stranger. I really actually like was Up in the Treehouse. Is that the name of it?
Oh my God, Up in the Treehouse by Kay.
Yes.
Okay, Allen.
That cover is just beautiful. Oh, don't mind me. Hold on. Like, I just love it so much. Like, I just think it's so pretty.
Oh, it's stunning. I love those covers.
Probably that one. I mean, I don't know if I would say it's my all-time favorite. That's going to be a hard one to pick, but it's very, very pretty, and it just gives off that, like, sweet, but, yeah, I just really like it.
I get it. I like it, too.
Now, the real question is, have you seen the alternative cover that was in the book box?
No. Oh, I like that one, too.
That's pretty dope.
That is really dope. I like that. I like that a lot. I will say, too, all of Harlow Ray's, like, all of her alternative covers are so pretty for pretty much all of her books. I love them.
Literally.
They're so, so pretty. Rachel Lee actually just released His Hollow Heart. And that cover, I love that cover too.
That is a really pretty cover.
Yeah. It's really pretty. And Sarah Kate's Burn For Me, I really like that one too. Like the eyes, his eyes are just. I'm obsessed.
Hot as hell. I love that man. Mm-hmm.
What attracts you to a book? The cover, the blurb, the recommendation from others, or the title?
I mean, all of it in the most part. I have a hard time with covers if I can't tell what the book's about. Like, all there'll be like angsty romances, but it'll be like an animated cover. And I have a hard time with that because I'm like, to me, that's like a rom-com style type cover. And so I'll have a hard time getting interested in it if like that's not what I'm looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say everything though, because if someone recommends a book to me, I'm more than likely to just get it and try it. But if I look at it and I'm like, nothing else about it intrigues me, I probably won't, you know. But overall, I think it can be everything depending on the situation in the book. But the funny thing is, I very rarely read blurbs unless I'm at a bookstore. So if I like go to Barnes and Noble or go to a local bookstore and I'm looking at them, I will read the blurbs. If I'm like, say something pops up on Facebook, if it's like an excerpt or even a quote or something, a lot of times I'll just like snag it. I don't even bother like reading the blurb. Unless the excerpt or something they post like confuses me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so is this like a romance? Or, you know, like if I'm unsure, then maybe I'll read the blurb to figure it out. But overall, I very rarely, like if I'm just getting books on my Kindle, I'll just download. It's fine.
Story of my life.
Never have enough. You can have 20 in Kindle Unlimited now, so.
Yep.
That was probably a really bad idea on Amazon's part.
Right? I mean, I never really hit my limit anyways, even with 10. Because I'm very, like, I'm one that I'll get a few, and then I'll read them, and then return them, and then get, like, a few more. I wasn't one that was
hoarding.
Yeah.
I literally had stockpiled so many books on KU. I had 20 books, and two of them I always keep on there anyway because I just haven't bought them. I just bought one, so I returned one of them. But I stockpiled, so I made a goal to read all of them in a short amount of time. And I think I only have 2 left.
90% of my Kindle are ARCs.
That too.
Yeah,
I own some books too. Like I have like 800 books on here.
Jesus Christ!
I don't even know how many I have.
I could never do.
And we're not even going to talk about how many I have on BookFunnel.
No, thank you.
No.
Like, there's no shame in my game. We're not even going to talk about how many books I have in my room right now and how many are on their way.
I have a lot, but not that many. I don't have the space for it.
I mean, I purposely had to buy bookshelves for the wall.
I love it.
Because I was running out of room. And now I'm going to have to buy another set because now I'm running out of room again. It's fine. Everything is fine. It's under control. I blame Vegas, though, because I did just order books for Vegas.
Yeah.
With the sole purpose that they're getting signed in Vegas. So.
Even though you have a year to do that.
Well, that's why, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Look, I'm taking shit with me. I even bought a damn rolling cart, so I don't have to carry my damn bags.
All of the ones that I'm getting signed are on my shelves, so I'm just ready to just pack them and go.
Look. See, I'm lucky that, like, I'm driving. Like, I can drive to Vegas because we're only a few hours away, so.
Must be fucking nice.
I'm buying this thing. Which, by the way, collapses and puts in your suitcase because Tegan and I both got the same one.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. Our bags are going to be too heavy, and it's just not going to work out well if I have to carry everything. So, I'm going to roll it.
Yeah. For it.
It's fine. I'm okay.
See, no, I'm glad, like, we can just stay everything in the trunk. Drive. I don't have to pay for the luggage.
See, if you fly Southwest, you get 2 bags for free, and that's fine. I was told that there is a UPS store right near Planet Hollywood. So I may have to.
What you do, though, is just have your 2 bags with all your books and then just wear lots of layers of clothes. And then that's just your clothes for the few days you're there.
Or I'll take my carry-on and take my carry-on suitcase and put all my clothes in the carry-on.
There you go. You only need, like, a few things.
We'll just forget that I'm there for 5 days. It's fine. Who were some of your favorite authors to read?
Sylvie Stewart's one of my favorite. Harlow Ray, Heather Orgeron. I don't know. Like, I have so many. No, my husband's pointing at himself. Let's see.
He can be a favorite. That's fine.
When he writes the grocery list, maybe. it depends on my mood. Willow Winters, obviously, I love her. She actually was one of the first real romance books I ever read.
She is the OG.
She is, yeah, her Knocking Boots, the original Knocking Boots before she re-released it, was one of my very first romances, and I absolutely love it. And then Harlow Ray, Heather M. Orgeron, Sylvie Stewart, Amelia Shea, I love her, her MC series, and Jean St. James. I really like her MC and her In the Shadow Security series as well. So probably right there.
All right.
On to trope.
Oh, okay. Shit, my bad. Okay, sorry. So we have trope questions. This is our favorite portion of questions. So what is your favorite trope to write and why?
I think I really enjoy writing second chance romances or like friends to lovers. And the reason I really like them is because I love the backstories. Mm-hmm. I love, love, love having a good backstory to integrate into what I'm currently writing. That's probably one of my favorites.
I also love friends to lovers. All right, your turn, Stevie.
Agreed. What is one trope you would eventually like to write and why?
That's a tricky one. Is a sports romance considered a trope?
Yep.
Okay. I'm definitely, like, so I wrote a short story hockey romance for an anthology. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it, and I would love to do a full series for it. I would love to do, like, a full sports romance series. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Care for it. Care for it. what is one trope you would never write and why?
Step siblings.
Why?
I just can't. Like,
why?
I've tried reading them and I can't get into it. I can't, like, I always finish, but I feel like I'm cringing the whole time. Like, there's nothing wrong with them. Absolutely nothing wrong.
Okay, but wait, what if, like, okay, so, I mean, I could probably get, well, listen, because next year I'm writing one.
Spoiler alert.
I just released, like, titles, and I literally, in, like, the little description, it says, one of which is my new stepbrother, all of them know what I did last summer. So, it's very not a spoiler, it is very obvious. I'm doing one next year, so it's fine. But my thing is, I feel like if they grow up with each other, it's a little weird, right?
Yes.
But in this instance, they know of each other. They live in two different towns, and their parents happen to get married when they're both older.
Oh no, that's fine. That's not the same.
Yeah, and now I could probably cringe too if they, like, grow up a little bit.
Yeah,
grow up together. It's like, ooh.
No, it's the ones where it's like they're like 4 years old, their parents get married, and they literally grow up as siblings. Like,
yeah.
That to me, I'm like, yeah, it's just, yeah, no, it's very cringeworthy. If they're like grown adults, no, that doesn't bother me as much, because I'm like, I mean, they're grown adults, so what, their parents got married, like, you live on your own, you support yourself, it's not the same, you know.
I still like it though, and it's going to take place during summer vacation after graduating college, so they're both going to be there. And I like the taboo aspect of like living in a house together and like knowing that I like it. And it's a reverse harem, so like, listen, y'all, it's the one thing that
I've read some, and there have been some like you said, where it's like they're grown up and yeah. You know, that doesn't, like, I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. However, the one thing that always makes me, like, shy away from it is when stepbrother is in the title. Because then I have a hard time forgetting it. Like, I feel like there's moments where when you're reading it, you can almost kind of forget their stepbrother or step-siblings or whatever, and it's funny.
I like the taboo aspect of it.
but like you said, though, it depends on the situation.
I totally get it.
Like, there was one book I read that it was, like, the stepbrother was, like, the title. Like, literally, that's what the title was, and I was like... But I had read, like, the second book in the series that was, like, about their friends. Yeah. And it intrigued me so much that I was like, well, I really want to go read this book now. And it was, like, the same thing. Like, they were adults. And they started dating. And then their parents started dating and got married. And I was like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. But I'm like, why did she have to name it?
See, my thing, I have this... I mean, I'll read them, don't get me wrong. So, like, I've read books that do this. But I'm, like, not a huge fan of them. I don't like it when the trope is in the title. Like,
I agree. Like, the baby for the billionaire or like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends for me. Like, it honestly depends on who writes it and why it's in there.
I mean, I understand. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've definitely read them. They're just not my favorite. I like titles. I like unique titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just think it's cool. Like, I don't know, but that's just my personal preference. I guess everybody's got to each their own. I don't yuck nobody.
I would like to shout out Abby Glynn, so, because, you know, I don't normally like taboo per se, depending on who writes it, obviously. I'll have you know that Abby Glynn was the first person that wrote a stepbrother or step sibling romance that I actually fell in love with, and this was like 12 years ago, because her Rosemary Beach series starts out as step siblings. Granted, they don't know each other until she moves in there when her mom dies. So it's like, and they're adults, they're consenting adults.
Yeah.
But shout out to her, because she's the OG.
I love it. Oh my God. Okay. Speaking of step siblings, have you guys watched The Craft 2 Legacy? The Legacy?
I haven't.
You have to go watch it. And this is not a spoiler, but you have to go watch it, because basically her mom is getting remarried, and the dude she's remarrying has three sons. And immediately, it's like you find out like in the first 2 minutes of the movie, and I was immediately like, oh shit, we got stepbrothers. And I'm like, they come walking down the steps, and I see like two of them are like of height, you know? I was like, oh shit. And then like, they come to the steps, and they stand, and they're like, oh, this is... fucking Isaiah, whatever the middle child's name is, and then the youngest one, and the two oldest ones, I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
You're waiting for the reverse harem portion.
I was like, damn. So immediately I was like, I ship this so hard. I ship it hard. But that's just me. I read like.
Tell me you're a romance reader without telling me you're a romance reader.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. Oh my God. And then we were watching it. We literally watched it last night because my friend came in, and we do like every year we do like a Halloween movie, like all day. That's all we do, is watch scary movies. And the boys that are husbands that were here, they were like, bro, we need a break. So we watched The Craft because it was like not scary. It's like Halloween-y, but it's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
and we were watching it, and there was this part, right? This is a spoiler, so like don't listen to this part, but there was this part where the oldest brother, like there's this guy named Timmy, like that they put a spell on to kind of like be in touch with his inner like self or whatever, so he's not such a dickhead. And basically Timmy comes over because he's the middle son's best friend, and he comes over and he's like hanging out with the girls or whatever, like the witchy girls or whatever. And the oldest brother's playing video games, and Timmy comes into the living room, and the oldest brother's like, I'm going out. As soon as Timmy comes in, and I was like, oh shit, he's gay. And my husband was like, what? Where the fuck do you get that from? And I was like, he's gay. No. I was like, he's gay. I was like, him and Timmy have like hooked up. Like, if not, they've kissed or hooked up. And he was like, no fucking way. I was like, listen to me. They do not just randomly have Timmy walk into the living room and then the oldest brother look all depressed, get up and go, I'm going outside. Like, what are you fucking smoking? I kid you not. Literally 4 minutes later, Timmy admits to like him and Isaiah like hooking up. And I was like, y'all fucking doubt me. Stop doubting me.
You said that money.
I literally write romance novels. I know what cues look like.
Right?
I know what it looks like when a tortured hero needs to leave the room because his girl walks in it. I know what it looks like. Damn. So yeah, there's that. Anyways, all right, Stevie, you can take our last question.
If you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
Oh, are we talking like my life now, or like are we pretending that my
work? I like to pretend.
Okay.
Like, yeah, because if I'm pretending, I want a billionaire.
I mean, I know what book I want to be in. I'd want to be the heroine in Bought from the Highest Bidder series.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, probably like friends to lovers or something dangerous. Dark romance. Something
dangerous.
Something exciting, you know?
I'm fucking reverse harem, so I get it.
I mean, I wouldn't say no.
I definitely want to be in a reverse harem. Definitely.
Can I choose my reverse harem?
Absolutely, I have.
Okay.
If you go to our TikTok bookshelf boyfriends, I'll break it all down for everybody.
I actually think I've watched it. I watched that one.
I'm crazy like that.
I've got mine picked out for the most part. I mean, no matter what, anything, my hero is Milo Ventimiglia. No matter what.
Yes, Gilmore Girls.
I loved him for so many years.
I literally have never watched Gilmore Girls. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Did you watch Heroes?
No.
Did you ever watch Heroes?
She's too young for Heroes.
Did you ever watch the Adam Sandler movie, That's My Boy?
Yes.
He played the brother of Leighton Meester's character.
Okay.
He also plays the father in
This Is Us.
Yes, in This Is Us.
Okay, I got it. I'm picking up who you're laying down. I know who it is. I got it.
He's the love of my life. Don't tell my husband. Oh.
All right, so that is our last question for you, and we give a few minutes at the end of this for you to talk about yourself and if you have any upcoming releases, and let our listeners know where to find you. So the floor is yours, ma'am.
Well, my newest release, Stranger, just came out on October 29th. It's my first dive into the dark world. So, and then I am available. Oh, I also am part of an anthology. It only has about one more month left on Amazon and all other retailers. It's called Resisting You. It's a small town second chance romance anthology benefiting Stop AAPI Hate. So it's a great cause. So that's available for one more month. December 15th is when it goes away. And then I'm available on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Goodreads, and BookBub.
And her art team's open if you want to be on
our team. My art team is open. If you would like to be a part of that, you can contact Stevie, or I have it pinned to the top of my group on Facebook, in my readers group, so you can do that too.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You were an absolute blast, and we had such a good time talking to you, and we hope to chat with you again soon.
Thank you, guys. It was so much fun.